Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank. And today we're talking about Americana, which came out in 2023. It's a crime thriller directed by Tony Tost? I don't know. It stars Sydney Sweeney, Paul Hauser, Halsey? That was only one name listed. Is she a singer?
I think it is. It not Halsey?
Halsey? Oh, okay.
No, it could be Halsey. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's most famous for the one I know is Closer with the Chainsmokers.
Oh, yeah. Okay, is she a member of the Chainsmokers?
No, I think she's a singer.
Oh, okay.
Like, I mean, I think she's just her own artist.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of that song. Gavin Bergman, who's a child actor. Eric Dane, Joe Adler, Zahn McLarnon, who I don't think is Irish, and Simon Rex are in this movie. Mm-hmm. I think that's all the main characters. It's weird that Sydney Sweeney was listed first, but we'll get into that.
Let's wait till we get into the movie.
Yeah. So anyway, the summary of this movie, you know, from my perspective, is that a woman in an abusive relationship whacks her boyfriend in the head with a hammer and escapes, but her delusional son stays behind to finish the job. Meanwhile, we learn that the victim boyfriend was in the middle of a clothing heist where he double-crossed the person who hired him. Also in the mix are homely, stammering, big-eyed Penny Joe and hopeless romantic Lefty, who caught wind of the valuables and are looking to score their way to a better life in Nashville. Which might only be true for Penny Joe, but I think Lefty's hoping something different. Lastly, the indigenous Lakota tribe are looking to re-procure this artifact as it belongs to their people. All parties, except dead boyfriend Dylan and Fun Dave, who was Dylan's partner, eventually make their way to the abused woman Mandy's father's religious compound for a Cowboys and Indians type shootout. And at the end of the movie, Penny Joe sails off into the sunset. Not the sunset. I guess she's heading east with a big bag of cash and maybe some guns. I don't know.
Right. Going to Nashville, right?
Yeah. From Wyoming, Utah. Where the hell are they? Oklahoma?
South Dakota.
Oh, really?
Okay. It was where they started, I think.
Yeah, could be. Flyover country.
Yeah, I don't know if you fly over South Dakota, though. It's sort of out of the way. You'd have to sort of go out of your way to fly over.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, well, I mean, now that we're out of the WNBA season, do we have any WNBA updates? Is there any post-off-season stuff?
Oh, there's a lot of WNBA updates.
Let's hear it.
So the players are basically rebelling against Kathy Engelbert, who is the
commissioner.
I think this was kicked off by Nefessa Collier,
okay,
who had a pretty scathing interview about the leadership of the WNBA and said it was like the worst leadership in sports. And since then, a lot of players have come out and supported her. And there's been some back and forth. Basically, I think they're just, I mean, there's going to be a lockout probably. There's been huge growth in the WNBA over the past couple of years, obviously. And it seems like, you know, the WNBA is having difficulty catching up to sort of the new stature of the players. It seems like there's a lot. It seems like the outside money coming in is coming in a lot faster than the salaries within the league have grown.
Okay.
So the players are more wealthy outside of the league, but actually not making a ton of money within the league.
Are any of them complaining about how much they're paid in comparison to the NBA players?
So occasionally there are complaints. It's mostly framed as a complaint about the percentage of revenue.
Okay.
Because they understand there's a difference. I think that sort of sometimes fails to grapple with the like fixed costs of hosting a basketball game.
Sure.
Because, you know, there's a lot of overhead in just having, you know, putting on large performances. But they don't think they should be paid on parity, I believe. But I think, like, Caitlin Clark made, like, $74,000 for her WNBA salary. And I think she said she was making, like, $3.1 million when she was still in college. So.
What, in endorsements and such?
I don't know if that's, like, yeah, NIL stuff or from what. I mean, she still gets endorsements now and probably in, like, a lot more than $3 million a year. You know, I mean, I don't know the finances of every WNBA player.
Yeah.
At the moment, but they might be getting better soon. And, you know, this is obviously putting a damper on the expansion plans because they can't have an expansion draft until they get this the contract renewed, apparently. Mm-hmm. And if there's a lockout, you know, it'd normally be okay, but because they're trying to, I think, have two new teams, this is sort of, you know, going to be an issue for the NBA, WNBA leadership. So we'll see what happens.
To go from 13 to 15 teams, is that?
Is it 13? 13 sounds like a very strange name. No, but is that what it is? 13 teams?
Yeah, I think everything about the WNBA is strange. All right, well, you know, that's a big update.
Yeah, 13. Yeah, are there literally 13 teams? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe one team is moving. I think the Sun is maybe moving or being bought by the WNBA or something and moved to maybe Boston, which would be interesting. I don't know.
Nice.
Difficult to say.
Okay, well, until next episode.
So yeah, back to the movie, right?
Yeah. So where do you want to start with this one? Do you want to start about who the main character is, maybe?
Well, the person we start off following, okay, and I think it's worth mentioning, this movie sort of mirrors another, like, the start of this movie mirrors the start of another movie we saw.
I was going to draw comparisons to Greedy People. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I can see where you get that, but I was going to draw the comparison to California King, where the movie starts out with someone being killed outside of a trailer. And then we find out that's a flash forward to about the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the beginning of this is like the little kid who has a name, I'm sure, Cal, maybe?
Yeah, it's Cal.
Who has one line in this movie. He's sort of like one of those things with like a drawstring. And all he ever says is, I'm the reincarnation of Sitting Bull and something, something, my people.
Yeah, I'm here to reunite with my Lakota tribe or something.
Yeah, he thinks he's an Indian. There's like a thing on, I don't know if whose truck, that says like, all my heroes killed cowboys. And then there's like a thing that says, you're on sacred land. So they're sort of like, they start off with that. I mean, the people, I mean, he's a white kid. And his mom and stepdad both seem to be white people. So he just, I don't know, again, when he meets the Native Americans, they just tell him he's watching too many TV shows. But yeah, he seems to be going around playing, I guess, his version of like indigenous people versus colonizers, I guess is probably what he would call it. And like practicing his bow and arrow, which yeah. He uses to kill the boyfriend whose name I don't remember.
Dylan,
okay.
But he's not good with the bow and arrow. You'd think the reincarnation of Sitting Bull would be better.
Was he known for being like an arrow guy? I mean,
I don't know. Can you really become, an indigenous people's leader without being like a fierce warrior?
I mean, maybe. I don't know the rules. I mean, you can become a normal, like, leader of anything without being a fierce warrior. I mean, I don't know, this wasn't so long ago that I think you had to be, like, a warrior leader. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's ever been the thing. It's not like the Predator Society, you know? But either way, so it's weird because, so the boyfriend wanted the mom to go with him when he was coming into this money. And instead, yeah. She, like, tries to rob him. And I mean, she does rob him, I guess.
Well, yeah, she leaves him for dead and steals his car.
Yeah. But then just, like, leaves her kid with, like, almost no prompting.
Yeah, I mean, she's begging the kid to get in the car. But, like, and at this point, I don't know that the kid knows that she's his mom. Is that right? Like, she told Dylan in the beginning of the movie, like, it's my brother out there. And Dylan is upset that he has to, like, provide a house for Mandy's brother. And he's a real shithead to this little kid, which is unfortunate.
I'll admit that I never heard that part where she says the thing about the brother. I only heard her reference the brother at the end. And then she's like, he's not my brother, he's my son. But I had gone through the whole movie assuming it was her son anyways, because it was like a son-aged character she kept being around and trying to take care of, sort of, fully. So yeah, that whole brother twist thing just never landed for me, because I just never heard them mention it. But still, I feel like she could have tried a little bit harder. Like, if I was trying to get someone in the car with me, I would do more than be like, come on, like, we gotta go, and I don't want to go.
Especially because it's an 8-year-old, and you should just, like, take an 8-year-old's fucking wrist and be like, get in the car, you little shit.
Grab him by the arm and toss him in the back of the car and drive off.
Yeah.
Like,
quit watching Western movies, you delusional 8-year-old. Get in the fucking car.
She doesn't think she killed the boyfriend, and she didn't. She just hit him in the head.
Yeah, she's,
then,
like,
later,
hustling
when it's
out. Yeah.
Said that he's dead, she's, like, kind of surprised, right?
Yes.
So it's like, she thinks he's still alive. The kid's right outside. You know, she's just beaten and robbed this guy. And she's like, okay, go hang out with those, go stay with the, I don't know,
the
Whitleys Smiths down
the street.
Across the street,
yeah.
Yeah, they'll take better care of you than I did. It's like, okay, maybe he does that, but this kid seems a little bit doing his own thing. If the boyfriend comes out and the kid doesn't shoot him with a bow and arrow, the guy was threatening him with a gun right before that. It's like, Mandy seems terrible with this kid. It's like, what are you doing? Like, you left him in a very dangerous situation caused entirely by your greed.
Yeah. No, she's a horrible person.
Kind of sucks.
I mean, we learn the situation she came from, so maybe she's just incapable of being a normal person.
Yeah. I mean, she seems like one of the more normal people in the movie, for the most part. Because we get a lot of weirdos.
Lots of weirdos.
Because then we go back to days earlier. And I gotta say, we get to, this is Paul Walter Hauser, who was just Mole Man in whatever movie, Fantastic Four. But also, I know him from a different movie that I don't know if you've seen, called Songbird. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
Okay, here, listen to this. This is pretty good. It's a COVID movie, so everyone's, like, isolated, and I don't know if it's literally COVID, but it's, like, a fake COVID thing. This guy is a veteran in that movie, okay, and in this movie. And he, over the internet, falls in love with Alexander Daddario, who's playing an aspiring singer.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Okay.
And now in this movie, he meets stuttering waitress Penny Jo, played by Sydney Sweeney, who apparently has a stutter. I didn't notice that until I think her mom's, or whoever, her neighbor, who's the one who, like, comes over and starts mocking her?
That's her mother whenever she goes home and she's, like, playing her guitar in the bedroom. But it's more of a stammer, not a stutter.
Sure. It kind of just sounded like she had the hiccups for most of these scenes. And then she's like, oh, I have a stammer. And I was like, I mean, I guess you do. Sort of, but, like, I think if you just, like, hold your nose and stand on your head, you could get rid of that right away. You know what I mean? Like, this was such, like, a weird character choice for a thing that doesn't matter. At some point, like, the guy Lefty, who is Paul Walter Hauser, is like, if you didn't have a stutter, you probably wouldn't talk to me. As if, like, oh, this, like, degrades your value enough that, like, you know, you'll talk to a guy like me. And she's like, I like how honest you are. I was like, why? This is just insulting. He's like, you're kind of damaged goods. I think I can get in on this. And so this guy apparently is, like, doing, we see him doing, like, a marriage confession, or a marriage proposal, but you never see the person he's talking to.
Yeah.
Which means it's always a fake out.
Yeah, it's like, always practice. This is a trial run. Do you think this sounds good?
I think this is literally the opening of How I Met Your Mother. I hate this device every time because you're just like waiting for the camera to turn around. But since we don't know any of these characters, he's just talking to a woman and he's like, oh, I meant this for a different woman. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know any of these people, so this, none of this meant anything. And we find out he proposes several times a year.
Yeah, this is his fourth proposal about to be.
He goes on like a few dates and then he proposes.
Which, yeah, he's like, known Brittany Gable for 2 weeks.
The movie makes this scene, well, he's dated her for 2 weeks, right? And she has, this. His girlfriend has the most baffling haircut I've ever seen in my life. It's like some kind of bowl cut. Like, the whole time she's like acting like he's the crazy one, and I'm just like, I saw that haircut. Like, calm down. Like, you guys both have your own set of crazy going on, right? But then, like, you know what? At some point, when you get old enough, and Paul Waldenhauser is 38, and the other thing we might know him from is he was the Juggalo in the episode of Always Sunny.
Yep.
So he's 38. I feel like at some point, you're just going to stop proposing to people pretty early. You know, what are you going to be 38, date them for a couple years, then see if it works out? You know?
Well, I guess at that point, like, you might need to have a few irons in the fire, you know?
Yeah, it seems like he keeps taking swings at this. I mean, because it's like at some point, like when you're young, you need to grow up. Like, you know, the reason you don't like propose at 20 is because like you're also growing up and getting your life together. At some point, it seems like his life is as together it's going to be. And it's like, you know what? You just find someone you get along with and take a swing at it. It doesn't work that much, although it sort of works out for him. It doesn't work out for him. So the movie, I think, was billed as a him and Sydney Sweeney movie. They're not in it that much.
No, they really aren't. They're not even the main, like, she just ends up as the one with the money. And she's the only one that ends up okay and not dead. She shouldn't be the main character.
Well,
I don't know
the
why.
The mother and son end up okay, right?
Oh, I thought Mandy was shot.
She was shot, but I think she survives.
Oh, okay.
I think she ends up, her family ends up with like half the money or something.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I think I was hoping that the son died the whole movie.
Yeah.
He was not one of my favorite characters. No, he was I really wanted the Native Americans to turn on him.
He was pretty annoying.
Yeah.
Although the Native Americans were also pretty annoying. There were really no good guys in this movie.
Yeah, it's
not because they were like morally bad, just because they were all kind of annoying. But Sydney Sweeney isn't in this very much, and neither is Paul Waldenhauser. Basically, the movie is Halsey's has the ghost shirt, it's called, that she got from the boyfriend.
And yeah, I guess you want to go in chronological order?
You summarized it already, but I'm just trying to like get the like overall like thrust of the movie.
Okay.
And Paul Penny Joe and Lefty are trying to steal it from her because they've heard it's valuable. And Lefty is basically doing it because he's a simp, and Penny Joe just wants to move to Nashville to be a singer. I don't think we ever hear her sing other than like to the car radio at the end.
That's right.
At some point he's like, "Are you a good singer?" And she's like, "Yeah, maybe." And he's like, "Oh, I bet you're good." And you're like, "Oh, I guess we have to bet too. Like, you can show singing." It's kind of crazy because Halsey is a singer. It's like, are they sure they shouldn't have switched roles? Did they just get the wrong script?
Oh, yeah, maybe they read for the other character and then they just didn't update the...
rolled with it?
Like, yeah.
I don't know. Because, yeah, Halsey was like the lead actress in this. But she's not billed as such, which is weird.
I think it would be fair if Sydney Sweeney were listed third, maybe, just for, you know, fame, much like Jim Carrey was listed on that other movie, you know?
Yeah, they boomed us with that one, too. Yeah, so they just, like, running around, and then the kid, like, goes and, like, notifies the Native Americans about all this stuff, and they're, like, some Marxist Native American commune who then just, like, rolls up and decides to also be in on this. So you have like the Native Americans, you have the shirt dealer Roy, you have Mandy, and you have Penny Joe in the gang, all sort of following Mandy, who is headed towards her father's house in Wyoming, which is like this five-man religious compound.
Yes.
Where
five
he
man, five woman.
Where he apparently prostitutes his daughters.
Yeah. You can rent a daughter for an hour in the back room.
And they have like a pink door to demonstrate this. And it's just like a, you know, regressive sexist thing. He like doesn't let them wear makeup. And that's like supposed to be a big deal. Although like when she washed it off the makeup, I barely noticed the difference. So like, I don't know. I guess I wasn't paying that close attention. But then I think the main thing is he's pipping them out. You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, he has all these like religious rules. Like you got to wear these sort of like, you know, modest sort of Amish looking clothing and not wear makeup. And you're like, okay, that's weird. And then it's like, but also he's pimping them out. It's like, you kind of think like you'd want makeup in that case. Like, I don't know. It's like, it seems like a weird duality to this.
Yeah. They're like house rules, but we never get all of the rules. We just know they exist. And whenever we first meet the women of the household, they're all just like cutting potatoes in the kitchen. And then there's three guys sitting at the dining room table, staring at them, cutting lettuce and potatoes, but they're petrified to be cooking. It's weird. They're like so scared they're going to cut a potato wrong, and the guy's going to come over and be like, yo, I said diced, motherfucker. You know?
Yeah, like this, the father, you know, seems like a real piece of work. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like we don't get enough of this, really. Like, it doesn't feel fleshed out. It's one of those things that seems like a random thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we, I mean, unless you have stuff to, like, say, I think we move pretty quickly to the compound, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, whenever we briefly met Sydney Sweetie's mother, she goes, she delivered a line, she was like, hey, can you knock off that fucking music or whatever? And she's just playing guitar for, like, I don't know, 6 seconds. Not even,
yeah.
She couldn't even get a word out so we could hear her sing. And she gives a line that says, some of us got to work in the morning, so, you know, keep it down. And it's just like, Penny Jo is a diner waitress. She's the one who has to work in the morning. I didn't understand that. Like, how early is the mother getting up? You know?
Yeah, I mean. And, you know, I think this is another thing where in movies, dino waitresses are always getting in on these, like, hijinks, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you just want to get into some trouble, just, like, go waitress at a diner, be pretty, and just wait for some, like, you know, weird criminal to stroll by and start flirting with you. Because this is also, what, the plot of, what's that stupid movie? Baby Driver.
Yeah. Except they're heading west, not east.
No, maybe that's it, yeah. So...
How are they going to insert themselves into this? Like, they plan to get their hands on the shirt. They don't want the money. They don't know how much money there's going to be involved. But literally, there's a napkin that's scribbled on, and it says, Friday diner, 4 p.m., dollar.
You might cut out a little bit.
Oh, sorry. So the only thing they know about this heist is that she found a napkin from Fun Dave, who wrote down... Friday diner, 4 p.m., and then dollar signs. And it's just like, she takes this napkin and puts it in her, like, her pocket as if it has some secret information. It's like, The only additional information you have other than here and money is that it's Friday at 4 p.m. Why don't you just remember it's Friday at 4 p.m., throw the goddamn napkin away.
That's also a crazy thing to write down, is be like, okay, let me put my crime schedule in my day planner. Let me set a reminder. And also, the place where the meeting is where she works.
Is where she is right now.
She's just like, oh, how serendipitous. That's when my shift starts. So I'll just roll up a little early, and I'll probably be their waitress. You know? And then they also have Lefty, like, sitting next to them, like, eavesdropping. And they're just, like, planning this crime. And they give, like, an explanation. They're like, you think I'd meet you in private? It's like... It's like he's trying to, like, hire you for a thing. It's like, why would he not meet you in private? But anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just really going to, they're going to get their hands on this shirt. And then once they have the shirt, they'll know who to sell it to for a lot of money. I don't know. So that didn't make a whole lot of sense. But yeah, up until the compound, I think that's all I got.
Yeah, and at some point, like, this movie is like one of those with pots, which might be, did Greedy People do this too? I feel like Greedy People might have done this too.
Yes, it did.
So at 45 minutes, we start part four. It feels like we're just blowing through them at that point. And then I think at about an hour 15, part five starts and it's Mr. Fuckface arrives. And I think that's the, like, antique stealer Roy.
Yeah, that's Roy.
Simon, I think, Cracks. That's who that refers to. And yep. He's just, like, some guy who is kind of a jerk-off. So when we get to the house, Mandy, like... Oh, so... What's it? Lefty and Penny are following her in, like, the boonies. Like, this is all boonies. It's South Dakota.
Yeah.
I think they end up going to Wyoming. And she manages to, like, lose their tail by hiding behind, like, a cactus and a tumbleweed and driving off.
And she's in a bright orange car. It's not like she's in a camouflage brown car, you know?
Yeah, she's not.
They're
on
a straight road, and somehow she, like, a quarter mile ahead of them, manages to escape them.
Yeah, they're like, she's getting away, and then they're like, oh, where'd she go? And they just keep driving forward, and she just, like, takes a, I don't know, perpendicular turn into the desert and just drives off. It's like, oh, that's weird. Is that, wasn't that the one other car on the road? I don't know. They get shaken really easily. So they eventually, I forget how they eventually get to the compound, but she gets to the compound first. And the, again, compound is like, this is a, like a ranch house
in the woods. Yeah.
Like, yeah. With like three guys and, you know, what do you say? Five guys, five women, something like that.
Yeah, probably.
And he's just like, oh, welcome back, you know, and he's like, you can come in, but house rules apply, which again is just wash your makeup off and put on your Amish clothing. And then they just like, so then the Indians roll up, right?
Don't they get Lefty?
Oh, well, yeah, Lefty like gets, he's like skulking around the woods and he just, like, gets caught, and he tries to bullshit, but then Amanda,
yeah,
recognizes him, and is just like, oh, I know this guy. He tried to rob me, and the guy just shoots him instantly.
Yes.
And is like, don't rob my daughter, even though I don't like her. And he's like, okay, well, at least, you know, he has a paternal bond. So, I mean, I don't think we find out about the pimping explicitly until after this. So.
Yeah, so as Lefty is, like, bleeding out on the front porch, I think that's around the same time that the indigenous found Sydney Sweetie, and they were like, okay, well, we're going to take you as another hostage. And they shoot an arrow at the patriarch, at Hiram.
Yeah, and they kill him. So yeah, the Indians come and they kill, they have the boy, who's the boy? Cal?
Yeah.
And Sydney Sweeney, like, tied up as, hostage. They're all using, like, compound bows, though. You know,
yep.
Like, you know, like the kid who like thinks he's Sitting Bull, I think was using just like a regular bow, but these like Marxist people are like, I don't know, all got a group discount at Bass Pro Shop or something and just have these like giant compound bows, and it's some, and they're just like, you know, leveling these people from like not that far away. And then, yeah,
while the other people have high powered rifles with scopes.
Yeah, but the guys with the rifles and scopes literally stand in the doorway for a while. Like the, not the door, like the porch, I guess. But like the Indians are all like behind cover, you know, and like just blasting at them and shooting these arrows are going pretty good. Cause again, they're compound bows. They're not like, you know, whatever you'd make, you know, in the tribal village or whatever. And then, yeah, the guys are like standing there just like being a sitting targets, like blasting in random directions. And then they go inside and the women are like, let us use guns too. And the guys are like, a woman with a gun? That would end disastrously. And then everyone in the house just shoots each other. Like, the men are like violently fighting to keep the women from having guns. So then the women end up just getting a gun and shooting them. And then now it's just the women against the Indians outside.
Yes.
And then they basically just broker a deal. And I'm like, actually, the guy with the money is coming here. Let's just kill him and split it. And they're like, you know what? Sounds fair. Let's do that. Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, so then the indigenous are outside holding basically the compound hostage until Roy shows up. And yeah, Roy will hopefully die and the indigenous will get their shirt back and all the money can go to the compound. And I'm not sure what the indigenous have planned for Penny Joe at this point, but
yeah, I think she's still she's like collateral, but the only guy who cares about her is the one who's already dead or like dying, I guess.
Yeah.
He's shot and just like bleeding out on the ground.
Yeah, but they treat her as like a bargaining chip.
Yeah, and everyone else is like, who?
But Mandy really just probably wants her dead because she was also one of the ones that held her at gunpoint at the gas station a few miles back.
Yeah, so. she was actually the one who did it, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, they like run around and do God knows what. And then it's like one of my least favorite things in movies where it just becomes nighttime for seemingly no reason. Just so this can like be shot at night and look a lot worse. And Roy shows up just by himself and starts talking to Mandy. Then at some point he like notices the Indians like in the tree line and turns to look at them with a gun. And these people who like mowing down the armed guys earlier just yeah. don't just make them a pincushion, which I don't understand. Like, I get it's just for the movie. But he's literally just standing out in the open, like, oh, this is weird. Oh, there's a bunch of guys with bow and arrows over there. Like, how crazy. You know? And then I think he shoots one of them. Like, he gets a couple kills in this thing somehow.
The guy from the trunk gets out with a rifle as opposed to a handgun. And he just sort of, like, walks toward all the indigenous that are behind cover. But I think he takes out, like, all but one or two of them.
Yeah, he gets shot in the stomach at some point. And like as he's bleeding out, he's just praying all over the place. So yeah, he gets his shots off. Which is like fine. But yeah, so it's like this guy with a guy in the trunk, and they're like, yep, this is about as formidable of forces. Like, if they brought a third guy, I think everyone here would have died. You know?
These indigenous, they have definitely lost their customs and traditions. They no longer know how to use bows and arrows, or kill with any sort of lethality or urgency.
Yeah, at some point, the main Indian guy we meet is Ghost Eye.
Yes, and sidekick Hank.
Is that okay, I was going to ask who the sidekick is. Because, like, Ghost Eye seems pretty chill throughout the movie. And, like, mostly just wants, you know, to get his thing back. And, like, you know, is, like, pretty normal.
Yeah, he really just wants fucking the kid, Cal, to stop pretending or saying that he's Sitting Bull. He's like, look, kid, you gotta drop that shit. You've been watching too many fucking Western movies. Can you please just, like, snap out of it? Because it's pretty insulting. And I'm the kind of guy that would kill you, but you're only 8, so I'm trying not to kill you. If you could just do me this favor of not, like, shitting on my whole heritage. And the kid's just like, nah, I'm Sitting Bull. I'm going to reunite with my Lakota tribe.
Yeah, and then at some point, Hank is just like, I got to go kill that kid. It starts, like, walking over. Oh, no, I think he wants to kill Sidney Sweeney because Roy was going to finish off Lefty, and Sidney Sweeney, like, had the gun in the back of her pants and shoots it at the ground, which, like, alerts the guy of the ambush. That's how he realizes that he's going to be ambushed. So then, like, I never understand when people try to get, like, mid-fight vengeance, you know, rather just, like, deal with this later. But Hank just decides to go kill her and just gets, like, clipped in the chest with one of Trunk Guy's bullets. And, dies. So he's dead. I think the only, like, Native American guy who survives is Ghost Eye, right? And,
yeah,
of course,
I think so.
Sitting Bull. So, yeah, basically everyone dies except Mandy gets shot. The girls in the house are just fine. They're all running around with their, like, Amish dresses and guns.
And they've shot all of their husbands, or were they all husbands? I don't know.
I don't. Yeah,
all the males of the house shot in the head and died.
Yeah, they were sort of shot before this time. They've just been bleeding out this whole time. And then who? Rex gets killed. Trunk guy gets killed.
Dylan and Fun Dave died earlier. They weren't at the compound, but
yeah, no, they've been dead long ago. So just like everyone but Ghost Eye from the Native Americans gets killed. And then yeah, I mean Sydney Sweeney is alive. Penny Jones alive. Mandy's alive. All the women are alive, basically, right?
Yeah.
And then the kid is alive, and Lefty's alive. So Mandy and her sisters go to the hospital. Penny Joe drives off with Lefty, who proposes to her and then dies.
Yeah, fifth proposal of the year.
And then the kid, like, brings the... does he bring the shirt back to the guy? And the guy, like, takes it and is like, doesn't let him in. It's just like, no, you can't get in. He just, like, gives him the head shake, and the kid's like, oh, that sucks. He's, like, really sad. This kid sucks. You gotta, like, I feel like we get no time with this kid. He, like, is never normal for a single moment.
Yeah, he's on screen plenty. He just doesn't have many lines.
Yeah, he just delivers the same line. I'm the reincarnation of Sitting Bull, da-da-da. And you're just like, okay, but, like... And at some point, I think the guy references, like, I understand, like, there's some kind of trauma and transference going on here. But, like, you never get any of that. It's all just, like, he just repeats. He's not a character. He's a total prop. You know? And then, everyone's... And then, yeah, Lefty dies. Penny Joe sings for the first time along with the radio. You know, and she's going to do her stuff.
At some point, I think... Lefty died in the car. Yeah. In Dylan's car, right? The orange one. How the fuck did Penny Joe hoist him out to be, like, sitting by the river with a six-pack of beer? She must be really strong out there, you know, baling hay whenever she's not working at the diner or something.
Yeah. I mean, so early in the movie, he, like, I think she says she wants to be a singer, and then at some point he's like, oh, do you write your own songs? It's like, yeah, it's not like this diner waitress has a songwriting team. Like, what are we thinking here? Like, obviously, who else would be writing for this woman who is not a singer? You know?
Refuses to sing, even.
It's not like Max Martin is, like, sending her lyrics and just like, oh, yeah, I'd love to have you on a track. No, it just works. I don't know. So, yeah, and then the movie's kind of over.
Yeah, I guess Mandy reunites with Cal, who takes off the tribal bandana, and he's like, okay, I'm ready to be a normal human again. But, you know, yeah, that's basically it.
It's weird, because a few times they reference cowboys in this, there really aren't any, like, cowboys. There's no, like, ranchers or anything, really.
No, was that Lefty's profession?
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of like I think we see him, like, shoveling some shit at some point.
Yeah, maybe he was a ranch hand.
But, like, I don't know. I feel like in a lot of these you would get, like, ranchers. At some point they, like, kill some, like, just rich people who live in this, like, giant glass house-looking thing. And they're the ones who had the shirt in the first place. And then Dylan or whatever, I don't think he's anything in particular. These people, like, again, religious, like, you know, Ruby Ridge cult or whatever. So it's like, yeah, you don't really have that, like, you know, frontier ranchers versus Native Americans. God knows what. But it is referenced a few times.
Yeah.
Which I thought was goofy. And
I think this shows literally everyone in a bad light. Even, like, I think this is bad for the United States, this movie. Because it almost implies that people like this exist, which I'd like to believe they don't.
So, well, at some point you have, like, yeah, the rich, like, guy. I don't know his name.
Sweeney lost Sesame
Pendleton Duval,
having done this movie.
Which sounds like a bad
thing. It was bad for
who's the guy with the patient, who gets killed for the shirt. Is like, why is America so goddamn cool? You know, even though all these other... I forget like what his like thing was. And it's just like this, like, it seems like this like really stupid speech about God knows what, and then he just immediately gets murdered and whatever. So like this, yeah, I mean, this definitely had like a point of view, although I don't know if like the Native Americans come off looking good. I don't know if any of these like ordinary people come off. I mean, you know, that's always part of the thing. It's like, you know, the small town, like greedy people crime things where everyone just kills each other. Yeah, then you have this like, again, the religious cult who's doing, you know, prostituting his daughters. So they don't look good either. And it's, and like Ghost Eye, I think it's explicitly is like a Marxist, but he doesn't really look good either. He like wants to retrieve his stuff, but he's like, they're all very willing to like kill kids and sort of innocent people for no particular reason. Because when they show up to the compound and start shooting everybody, I mean, the girl, I guess Mandy has the jacket, but like none of these other people do. They're just like there. So these people are really just like spraying down a bunch of, I mean, not innocents, obviously, but from their point of view, just random people. And they seem pretty fine with that. So, yeah, again, one of those movies that no one's a good guy. And like, you can definitely do that, but it's, you know, I think it's difficult to have a movie where everyone's so dislikable. And I feel like we got no real characters in this. Like, you sort of spend some time with Penny, Joe, and Lefty. But since Mandy doesn't really have anyone to interact with for a lot of the movie, and she's sort of being chased for a lot of the movie, you don't really get a lot of, like, what her deal is, other than she just, like, wants to make a quick buck. Like, she was sort of being abused, and then this, like, you know, stolen item just sort of fell into her lap, and rather than go away with her boyfriend, she just chose to, again, not try to kill him, but try to bludgeon him and then bounce, leave her son behind. So it's just, like, the characters you're supposed to be, like, following are, like, either very thinly sketched or just, you know, sort of contemptible. So I think that, like, made it a little bit more difficult to get into, for me at least. And I think, I don't know, Lefty, like, he just seems kind of pathetic because he keeps proposing to these women, although I guess, you know, like I said, I kind of understand it. And, you know, he's, I mean, he spent a good amount of time with Sydney Sweeney. I don't know if you're supposed to, like, think she was playing him. It seems like she has, like, genuine affection for him, which is kind of baffling because he's just really seems like a weirdo. Although he like, keeps giving the speech, like his proposal speech is always like, you know, I know I'm a, you know, I haven't lived a, you know, I don't live an exciting life. I don't have a fast car. And you're kind of like, yeah, he's just a simple guy. But it's like, he's kind of like simple and weird, you know? So it's sort of hard to tell what exactly is going on with that. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, overall, what were your thoughts on it?
I'd say it's squarely in the nephew territory. This movie wasn't for me. I don't like jumping around from character to character. You know, I'd rather the protagonist be one person throughout. You know, I don't care for the multiple perspectives, especially the different parts. I didn't enjoy it in Greedy People. I don't enjoy it here. You know, the story was sort of bland. The characters weren't really great. I wasn't rooting for anyone. Yeah, I think it's just like a solid nephew.
Yeah, I'd inclined to agree. I also felt the same way, and I think I like, felt a little bad because I feel like it makes me seem a little simple because I'm just like, yeah, linear storytelling, just like go in a straight line. God damn it. But, you know, I feel like California King pulled this off a little better, where, like, it had, like, somewhat of a similar structure, but you spent time with mostly the main characters. But in this, the two characters you spend the most time with, sort of, or, like, the Penny Joe and Lefty, are not really your, like, protagonists. It's mostly Mandy.
Yeah.
For a lot of it, or like, it's kind of split, but like, it doesn't really make sense for either of them to be the protagonist. Yeah, I think this would have been like a better movie if they picked one of those two groups. And I think it has to be, it sort of has to be lefty in them because, like, the nuances of their character don't make a ton of sense as, like, background characters. You know?
I mean, so, it could just be the lefty's a patron of the diner and they both catch wind of this plan. I mean, their characters don't have to be super fleshed out. It could be just another party who's interested in interrupting the heist and getting in on the action. And really, the story could just follow Mandy because she has more to her personality and character.
Yeah. I mean, it could. I mean, it's just like their thing. Like, you'd have to rewrite their characters, I think, to sort of like sand down. Like, you wouldn't get the same emotional beats. You'd have to do that a little differently, I think.
Yeah.
But you definitely could. Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of these, yeah, it's just like it tries to be too cute and it doesn't land. Because, yeah, I mean, you just don't spend any time with the characters. It's like when the guy dies at the end, you're like, oh, I guess that's sad. But, like, it was weird that he was with this girl and, like, none of this was ever going to work out, right? This is all nonsense. So, like, what are we even talking about here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think ultimately, like, Nephew, it wasn't like, I'd say it was, like, sort of inoffensive. Like, I wasn't, like, angry at it, but I was just kind of like a little bit bored for a lot of it, you know. Like, I was kind of like, yeah, if this was over, I wouldn't be that unhappy.
Yeah, I'd agree,
you know. And then it was, although I kind of like this Sydney Sweeney look, though. I feel like we got a new look out of Sydney Sweeney, and it was good, you know, sort of a like a more
conservative, traditional, sort of homely appearance.
Yeah, it was more like she was about to, like, go to a hoedown for a lot of it. And she had, I think, a lot of freckles, it felt like. I don't know. Thought it was largely good. So, yeah, but not the movie. The movie was largely not good. And kind of, but mostly just, like, boring. It was, like, nothing. You know? It was, like, you would never watch this again. Because you would just, like, never care enough. You know?
I would agree.
And it just feels like it's, again, like we kept being able to describe it in terms of like all these other movies. And, you know, I think when the plot is like, oh, it's just one of those where like there's all these groups vying for a thing, it has to be like the characters are like really fun and interesting. And these characters were not fun and interesting. And I think they could have been. Like, I think there's enough. Honestly, I thought Halsey was a perfectly fine actress. You know, I didn't realize she was like a, you know, like mostly a singer. Like, I didn't know who it was until I looked it up, and I was like, oh, that's like interesting that she sort of carried this whole movie. You know, like, I don't know if she carried it, but she was shouldered with, you know, this whole movie. So yeah, I don't know. And I think, what's the next one? I think The Materialists.
Hopefully The Materialists, possibly Predestination. Yeah, well, got a few. Got to wrangle in some guests. You know, Crossroads.
You're still working on Crossroads any day now.
Yeah, here's hoping soon. You know, we'll get the crew together.
Have a full crew situation. Yeah. And then of course we might have a live Vegas show. If anyone wants to join us in Vegas, make sure to email us at HankPokemon444@gmail.com.
Yes, and, valid a, email address.
That is a real email. That is a company email. It's a new one. So, yeah, email us there with your suggestions or if you want to meet us in person for whatever reason. And we'll see you then.
All right. Over and out. Fwiff, fwiff, fwiff.